Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Halfway through our second show of this Thanksgiving week, and second of three that we're doing together, producer Pete and I were take off both Wednesday night and Thursday night, or if you listen in the morning, we will not be here on Thanksgiving morning or the day after. Well, I've worked a lot of Thanksgivings in my life. In fact, I've worked two of the last three because I was in town. I didn't travel. And it's really neat to have the opportunity to host Thanksgiving at my own place, or the place that I now share with my other half, because I've never had a chance to do this. So I really want to enjoy it. I did consider working on Thanksgiving night because our company is leaving first thing on Friday morning. And then I thought, why? I would rather spend time with them. And I've waited a long time to be able to say that. Now, I'm a little nervous because I've got a turkey that I've got to cook, and I've never done that solo. I've only done a turkey breast in a crock pot. I've never done a full turkey on my own. So I'm a little nervous, a little anxious about what could go wrong. And we're asking you if you have any Thanksgiving meal horror stories. I set a pie on fire last year. Now, I'm really proud of the second effort. It's not how you start, it's how you finish, right? But I am hoping that doesn't happen with my turkey this year. So if you would like to share, that will make me feel better. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page too. I might have to use a GIF of Charlie Brown with the football being pulled out from underneath him, just because that's so classic Thanksgiving Americana, if you will. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We will talk more about the Thanksgiving week of football to come. And of course, we're talking about the Chargers and Ravens on Monday Night Football. Also, little bit of shade, well, not even shade, just direct fire from UConn head coach Dan Hurley about the officiating in his overtime game against Memphis. We've got some NBA too, but I promise you, before this hour is up, you've all been asking about the canine adoption that we're going through in our new family edition. So I'll have to tell you the story, and that we'll do that before the end of this hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Since it is Thanksgiving week, I invited our friend Jesse Bradley to join us from Seattle. He's got a great story. Longtime pro soccer goalie who is not only an avid fan, but is the chaplain for the Sounders out of the MLS. And we always have a good time when he's on the show. You all respond whenever he joins us. And so I'm glad we could do it this Thanksgiving week. Jesse, I got to outline my essentials for Thanksgiving. Every year, this is how I stack up the holiday. Family, friends who are like family, food, of course, the fun, yes, the football at every level, high school, college, pro, and of course, we can do the football, the international football, too, since that's your cup of tea, and then faith as well. So why don't we start with family? Any family traditions or big get-togethers for your Thanksgiving?
Excellent. I love the alliteration, and family is a good place to start. We have family coming from California, and we love getting together. I have an extended family that's pretty massive, like over 50 people, like Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors. And what's great is we all get along really well, really close. They're going to make the trip up here. So yes, the food preparations have started. And I am especially grateful this year. We just had bomb cyclone weather in Seattle. I'd never even heard of that phrase. But Amy, we have trees here 70 feet tall. And in the middle of the night, we were listening to the trees fall down, and one of them crushed part of our house. So now we're in the middle of all that restoration, and there's insurance. And I am just so grateful that it didn't fall 30 degrees in a different direction and come through our bedrooms. And so to have this Thanksgiving, you know, you count every blessing at Thanksgiving time. And to be with family, to have us all healthy right now, it's a good time to just stop and give thanks. And also, you know, just as a reminder, kind of going deep right away, but I just led a funeral, and it was a dad who died unexpectedly. And I care about that family so much. So if you have family and you're getting together, just enjoy them, love them, affirm them, build them up. Don't let it get weird. Don't throw out the question, who did you vote for and why in the election? You know, that could take it the wrong direction. But just enjoy that time together, and we're definitely looking forward to it. The kids are just counting the time down. Everyone's got their favorites. My wife is from Iowa, so she makes this corn casserole. It's incredible. My mother will come in. They'll be a great team. I don't add a lot of skills, so I tend to just tell me what you want me to do, you know. But I'm very appreciative for all the food, and I'm a raving fan. The kids have even noticed. They're like, wow, Mom's really going all out, and it's only Monday. Everyone's favorite food's going to be there.
I actually asked my third, fourth, and fifth graders this question on Sunday morning. What's your favorite side? And I got all kinds of different answers. So what's your favorite side with the turkey?
Well, I was going to go right for the pie with the ice cream when you were saying favorite. So I'll eat enough sides, but I'm going for turkey and pie. That's my 1-2 punch right there.
We're always excited to have our friend Jesse Bradley with us here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Longtime pro soccer goalie, now a pastor, an author, a speaker, and a chaplain. I know you get really excited about MLS and your role in Seattle. Will you incorporate Thanksgiving into this part of the year?
Yes, and we're giving thanks because Seattle is in the final four teams, want to win another MLS Cup. We've got to go down to L.A. this weekend. In the LA Galaxy, if you know soccer, they've won 5 titles. We've won 2. And on the other side, you've got Orlando in the New York City Red Bulls. Never won it before. So the action's heating up. But we just beat LAFC, which is a total surprise. We went down there. Not surprise for us, but for the rest of the nation. And the guys just really stepped up. A lot of character and came through with a big victory. Now, you might be thinking, if you don't follow soccer, like, what about Messi? Where's Messi? So Messi in Miami actually lost, kind of the joke, and it's a 100% joke, is that, you know, Messi can win the World Cup, he can win the European Championships, but the caliber of the MLS, like, it was just too much. He's not quite there yet. Maybe someday. and that's a joke. That's tongue-in-cheek, because the MLS has improved significantly. It's a much stronger league. But we did think Messi would still be around. He's not. The defending champs, Columbus, they got knocked out. LAFC's knocked out. So if you like some chaos, if you like Cinderella stories, like, this is the time to check out the next couple weeks. And we got the final four teams. It's a little bit like, you know, in the NCAA tournament when the upsets start to happen. Like, we've got a 7 seed, a couple 4 seeds right now, and it's literally anyone's championship. But as a chaplain, we're going to host. Seattle will host if we win this next game. So I'm looking forward to, right here in Seattle, MLS Cup. Amy, you're invited to come out, and everyone can jump on the Sounders bandwagon. We got a lot of room for everyone.
And since the last time we spoke, the United States Soccer Federation has finally found a coach for the men's team with the World Cup on the horizon. What's your reaction to the hire?
Mauricio is an outstanding coach. He, in every level, whether it's youth soccer, youth sports, high school, college, or the men's national team, the coach sets the culture. And the coach is the one who's going to raise the bar, and you're going to see an excellence with this team. He's coached at PSG, which is a top club in France, Chelsea, Tottenham. He's succeeded in every level. So what you're going to see is more attractive soccer, more creativity. I think the attack is going to be better. For those of you who don't like soccer and you're always wanting more goals, more action, I think this coach is going to bring it. And the World Cup is only a year and a half away.
Whoa.
The countdown starts. Seattle is a host city, so I got to start working on tickets. But the World Cup is watched by 5 billion people. There's 8 billion in the world. Over 5 billion people watch the World Cup. So even if you're not a soccer fan, you've got to admit that's some serious momentum. I mean, that makes Super Bowl attendance look kind of minor league comparing. Just saying. But World Cup overall is building up. This coach had a challenge because there's no major tournaments before the World Cup. So he's going to be flying kind of under the radar. But right now in America, we have so many of the top players playing in the very best leagues in the world. And these leagues are much better than the MLS even. But, we've got 4 players playing in Italy, including, Pulisic and Musa playing for AC Milan, which is, a world-famous club. We've got players in the Premier League, which is in England, Mexico, Holland, you name the country and the very best teams, and that's where our national team players are competing every week. And we haven't been able to say that in the past. So youth soccer is much stronger, college soccer is more competitive, and we're literally sending players to the very best teams in the world. And there's no substitute for that competition. So our players are no longer in awe of the other teams, and they want to do really well on their home field. Being able to host the World Cup is amazing. So American soccer, if you were buying stock, this would be a good time right now to invest, because there's a lot on the rise right now, and there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful.
I can imagine, just like greater society, there are some within MLS or the game that you played internationally when you were a pro goalie. Some care about faith. Others, not so much. So what is your role of chaplain when you're trying to reach the entire squad and not just, say, a few?
That's right. As a chaplain, you're there to serve. And everyone on the team is going through difficult stuff. It could be a tragedy, it could be an injury, making some big life decisions, trying to figure out marriage, family. It could be that they want to grow in their faith, or they're just trying to stay positive. They've had a tough season. So meet people where they are. And some of them want a lot more prayer. Some of them want to talk about their faith a lot more. Other ones, they're going to be more private. And I think there's a lot of love. There's a lot of respect. There's zero pressure. As a chaplain, you're there to serve people. You're not asking for something. And in an athlete's world, almost everybody wants something. Free tickets, an autograph, your time. And a chaplain's just there to say, what do you need? And there's no strings attached. There's no agenda. And what happens is you build trust, and trust is the core of every great relationship. And when people know there's authenticity and you bring a love, now they're going to trust, now they're going to open up, and there could be healing in their lives. Athletes have to carry themselves very strong, because coaches are watching them. They're looking for confidence. Their teammates are watching them. They're competing for starting time or playing time. And then you also have the other team that's trying to get an advantage. And you have the fans. And then you have the media that attacks. And you've got all these different settings. And you always have to present well, like you have it all together. And where can an athlete go where they can just let their guard down and be honest? And when that happens, that's where there's a restoration. That's where there's a strengthening. That's where there's a healing. I like to say there's not a healing until revealing. And when we go honest, not kind of honest, not pretty honest, but in relationships, when you go on that most honest level, that's when the best stuff happens. So if we can be honest and humble, we build each other up. There's safe places to talk about difficult stuff. And then, for me, I didn't follow God. I was an atheist, and I didn't want anything to do with God. And then I went to Dartmouth College, and I took a religion class, and all of a sudden I'm learning this stuff. And I'm reading the Bible for the first time, and I'm like, who is this Jesus? And I end up following him because really, I mean, it was both facts, but also my heart, and I didn't see that coming. So I know what that's like to be on that journey too, where you kind of have questions. You want a safe place to kind of kick the tires, and all that could happen as well. So there's on the field and off the field. And for me, when faith came into my life, it took pressure off me as a goalie, and I realized my identity is not performance-based. And now that's true for all of us. You know, in America, we like to ask, what do you do? But who you are is not what you do. And there's a difference. And an athlete's world's a roller coaster ride between, you know, what's the media saying? How are they performing? How are they viewing themselves, their confidence, their emotions? And you take all that, and it's like you need a secure identity. You want your house on the rock and not the sand. And I started to enjoy sports more. I started to enjoy soccer more because all of a sudden it wasn't first in my life. It was kind of in its rightful place. And so that freed me up on the field. Instead of those big games, kind of white knuckle, now I can just enter in, and it's like, it's a game, and I'm going to enjoy it. The joy is what I like to talk about. And, you know, before games, I'll just remind the players of the joy because pressure's starting to build. It's like, well, why did you start playing this game? What have you had at every level of this game? Like, it's the joy. We play with the joy, and we play together, and we play as a team. I always say sports teach you about life. And that's why the great coaches, they're far more than just teaching you, you know, strategy or technical skills. They're teaching you about life. And the great coaches are mentors. They're almost father figures or mother figures. And they instill things. I still keep in touch with my college coach. Why? Because we're doing life together. He taught me about life. And it's relationship. That's what you have when your career ends. And soccer career short. But learning about life, and then coaches, chaplains, they get to use soccer as an opportunity to talk about the truth of life, which is about relationships, teamwork, unselfishness, we over me. Amy, I got to admit, when we finish chapel, I just want to go out there and play. I'm like, you know, give me a 10-day contract. It's really fun in this role.
Jesse Bradley is with us from Seattle on the eve of Thanksgiving. Here we go. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. And I feel like there's a way to connect these two worlds here. So follow me, Jesse. When we are sports fans or athletes, a lot of times we need to link and latch on to hope, because if we don't have hope that our teams are going to do well, then it feels like the season is lost, or what's the point of paying any attention to it whatsoever? Same thing with athletes. When you compete, there's always this hope and this belief that you can win, that you can make a difference, that your role can be significant. So this Thanksgiving week, where can we offer hope to people?
That's right. Hope starts, you know, with Thanksgiving. If you think about gratitude and how powerful it is, Amy, there's been so much research done, but physically, okay, when you think of your heart health, less diseases, lower blood pressure, less inflammation, like all that's tied to gratitude. And then mental health, less stress, less anxiety, less discouragement. I mean, even there's research, your immune system strengthened, you sleep better. Then relationally, who wants to hang out with someone that's complaining all the time? None of us are looking for that person. But when someone's grateful, like, you just want to, it's contagious. It's caught. It's not just taught. And then with faith too, you know, being thankful from the Jewish culture and the Psalms, enter God's presence with thanksgiving, to give thanks at all times and all circumstances. It doesn't mean all circumstances are good. So your team might lose. You might be out with an injury for a few weeks. It might be a frustrating time. But I like to say gratitude is intentional. It's a choice. And there's always a lot to be thankful for. You can either focus on the darkness or the light. You can focus on what's wrong, or you can focus on what's good. A lot of people want what they don't have, but gratitude is to want what you do have. And just start giving thanks for the things you have and the people in your life. Mm. And you're married recently, Amy. When you start to thank your spouse for their strengths, instead of just focusing on their weaknesses, or you thank them for what they're doing, or, you know, in prayer, you're thanking God for the people in your life, your kids, like, it changes you on the inside. It changes your perspective and the way you see people. When my career ended tragically and I was fighting for my life for a year, took 10 years to fully recover, I started, well, now I call it gritty gratitude. It's giving thanks when you don't feel like it. And, you know, I grew up on the campus, University of Minnesota, Big Ten, and I literally made a Big Ten list. That every day, like a gratitude list, I would write down 10 things I'm thankful for. And that takes like 5 minutes. But that kept me from going in the ditch in terms of losing hope, misplacing hope, my mind, my thoughts, the negative cycles and patterns, my life will never go anywhere. There might be some fans out there that are watching teams that haven't won the Super Bowl or haven't won the World Series in many, many years. Like, think of the Cubs fans. Like, my dad lives in Chicago. It's like they never gave up hope. Like, finally, hope fulfilled. You got to be patient with sports. There's not always fair calls. Your team might not pay for the big talented players and not have the deep pockets from other teams. Like, sports aren't fair. If you're looking for fair, sports probably aren't your thing. If a lot of times in life, it doesn't feel fair.
Right.
But don't let other people have too much power. Don't have situations too much power. No one can take away the most important stuff. You can always love your neighbor. You can always be grateful. You can always receive God's love. You know, you can always work hard. These are the choices that we make every day. We're learning that in America right now. It's like, we need to be part of the solution. You can't just sit back and wait for some government to fix everything. Gratitude is a great starting point and starting to appreciate each other. And even if we disagree, let's love each other. Like, that perspective brings a lot of hope. We started 28 Days of Hope, which on our website, justchoosehope.org. How do you receive hope and give hope every day? Real practical roadmap. Hope is not ambiguous. It's not fleeting. Hope is not vague. Hope is available. Hope is very personal. And ultimately, we can live with that indestructible hope, like an anchor in our lives that cannot be taken or shaken. And that's what we need to walk through the challenging times that we face. We all face, but we're going to overcome. And there's a hope stronger than our challenges.
JustChooseHope.org. Great opportunity to investigate what hope is all about and how you can find it and where you can generate it in your own life and for the people that you care about. At Jesse J. Bradley. Jesse's a former pro soccer goalie, also a pastor and a speaker. Every now and then I'll see him do a YouTube interview or a big TV network interview, and the chaplain of the Sounders. And so I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for coming on the show again.
I always enjoy it, Amy. And, you know, you have an incredible audience that walks with you late at night. They're just checking out the show. Thanks for your energy, your enthusiasm, sports people. You always make it fun. And just keep, you know, I think you've been consistent for like 12 years now, and just tremendous job. So thank you for making it about more than just sports and truly how you inspire in what you're doing, Amy.
I appreciate that. That's very kind. It's always cool when people like our guests acknowledge that it's been 12 years of Thanksgivings here on what is now the Infinity Sports Network, 12 years of sharing Thanksgiving with you, some that I've worked either that morning or that night. I will, of course, be thankful for you and for the show that we've built together, the connection that we've made over these 12 years on After Hours. Now, coming up, we've got your candidates for TD of the week. As always, it's tough because there are some incredible moments, and we had some wild and wacky finishes in week number 12. Who wants to share a Thanksgiving cooking horror story? I'm all ears because I'm nervous about my first Thanksgiving as a wife. Oh, dear. Is it going to be my last Thanksgiving as a wife? No, no, no. He would never do that. He's not that shallow. And actually, my other half is a great cook, even better cook than I am. So I'm excited to see what he pulls out, too. He says he's got some pretty sweet sides. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. I did just throw up the post on our Facebook page as well, and soon we'll have the TD of the week poll. And dogs. That's it. That's what you need to know, dogs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Out before Burrow hit the ground, but there was no whistle, so that you knew for sure. Connor, oh, I have to sneeze. Oh, no. Hold on. Oh, wait. Maybe I wanted to sneeze. Why do I have to sneeze? Oh, no. It's the worst. It's awful. Okay, I can do this. I don't know why I'm allergic to the Bengals and the Chiefs.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's true. Sometimes I am, in fact, highly allergic to football. Like those weeks where I think, oh my gosh, the season never ends. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This Thanksgiving week, I'm trying to remember one simple principle. Kickers are people too. Just try to remember that as you give thanks for your favorite football team this weekend. And I really do love the NFL. It's great for business. It just seems like the season is all-consuming and never-ending. 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. Fairly soon, as in within minutes, we'll have your choices for TD of the week as we roll into a Touchdown Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. It's a Thanksgiving Touchdown Tuesday. Also, I did put up a post on our Facebook page where you can share your Thanksgiving horror stories. I have no doubt that we're going to get some doozies because Thanksgiving is that place where people go to confess far too much. People have TMI on Thanksgiving. Oh, I'm sorry, TMI on Facebook. And let's hope they have it on Thanksgiving so I can feel better about things. All right, I've put it off enough. You all have had many questions about the new addition to the family. I'll just qualify this by saying we're still in a foster period with the new dog. And if something doesn't quite fit or doesn't work out, then we haven't yet signed the papers and made this official. And I know that's the same way sometimes with human adoptions as well. So maybe getting a taste of that. I'd found this dog. If you missed it, I told you a little bit about her last week, but she is a rescue originally from Kentucky where she was dumped or abandoned. They don't have any idea. She was picked up by a local town. She was put into a kill shelter, and thankfully that kill shelter felt like this was too good of a dog. She was in too good a shape to be put down. And so they started looking for a rescue organization who would take her. Turns out she ends up in New Jersey with a foster home, a foster family who was taking care of her, but had only had her for a week when I saw her profile online. And I'd been looking for months. Now, I had been applying for other dogs as well. They hadn't quite worked out and weren't the right fit. And so this dog, who they identified as an Aussie mix, well, there might be a little Aussie in her. I don't know how much Aussie there is. She's very different than Penny. She's very different than the mini Aussie that we already have in the house. Her name is Daisy. If you missed the photo of the two of them walking on Sunday morning, it's up on both of our social media sites at A-Law Radio and Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So I will confess, the first couple days were challenging, not only because we're assimilating three different pets, but because in our brilliance, we decided it'd be a good idea to foster her Thanksgiving week when we've got family members in town. And really the reason we did that is just because of the logistics. We had to meet halfway to have our initial meeting with her and Daisy. And then we thought we don't really have time in the next week to come back and get her again. So maybe let's just take her and try things and see how it goes. Well, here are my initial observations. She is sweet. Boy, is she a loving dog. This dog thinks she's a lap dog and she's 80 pounds. And some people apparently let her sleep on furniture and climb on furniture. She also sheds vociferously and she's got short white hair. And so there's now short white hair everywhere. So we don't, now this is me, I'll claim this. I don't like dogs on furniture. I love dogs. I'm a dog person. You all know I adore dogs. I don't like to sleep with dogs, and I don't want dogs on the furniture, mostly because of the shed, but also because of the smell. When you have people come over, I don't really want my furniture to smell like a dog. So we're having to teach this new dog about climbing on furniture. Thing is, she's enormous. She's not only is she 80 pounds, the dog is tall. So in one or two steps, she could take a flying leap and land on the couch, on my lap, in a chair, or she can also just land on the bed. So we were trying to get her into the crate. It appears as though she's had some trauma in her past because she's got an adverse reaction when she's cornered. Not that we were trying to corner her, but we were trying to get her in the crate on Saturday evening, and she backed herself into a corner. And when my husband was talking to her quietly, because we had family members sleeping in the house, he wasn't yelling or anything. He tried to reach for her collar and she kind of snapped at him and yelped. So it's clear that something happened to this dog in the past, which just breaks my heart, that she is scared when she's cornered. She's also very afraid. This is an 80-pound dog. she can run things over, and she's very afraid of loud noises. So when a truck comes, the dog hides behind the coffee table in the living room. She doesn't fit behind the coffee table in the living room, but she wedges herself in there. And so we can tell there's been some trauma in her past, but she's very sweet. She's very loving. She's all up in your grill. She has no sense of personal space whatsoever. Again, 80-pound dog who wants to just climb into your lap. She's tall, so she can stand up on any window and see out the top half of the window. She's been doing that too. So yesterday, Monday, my husband went into New York City, or came into New York City, I should say, because that's where we are right now. Came into New York City to do some sightseeing because our family members have never been to New York. So they wanted to see Central Park and Times Square. Great. Leaving me with the dog. The dog is not interested in the crate. Again, I don't know what happened to her. They told me at the foster home that she loved the crate. She just goes right into the crate. She sleeps in the crate downstairs. Oh, that's a big fat lie. We tried to put her in the crate the first night downstairs. She got in the crate, but the second you close the door, yelping, whining, barking. All right, so a little bit of separation anxiety, maybe. So we tried it three times. It didn't work. So we had to take my poor husband. He takes the crate apart. He brings it up the stairs. He puts the crate together again. Here's the thing, though, Pete. Every time the dog moves, the crate makes a bunch of noise. The bottom of the crate is on some metal bars, and it bounces around, and she bounces around because she's a big dog. So that was not great. Neither one of us slept on Saturday night because the dog's moving around and the crate. I mean, it's big enough, but she's up and moving around a lot. So then, as I say, yesterday, my husband left the house and I didn't know what to do. She wouldn't go anywhere near the crate. Crate was upstairs. She wouldn't even come upstairs. She was hiding behind the coffee table. It's an 80-pound dog wedged between the wall and the coffee table. And goodness, the curtains, they're going to come down. I just know it. Anyway, so I did the same thing as he did. I dismantled the crate. I took it downstairs. I'm like, this is dumb. She's not going to use it. It took 4 hours before she would come upstairs. But when she came upstairs, no joke, I woke up because I heard her clop, clop, clop. She's a horse. Clop, 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 clopping up the stairs. Do you know what she did? Two steps. Flying leap right on top of me in the bed. I'm like, she's so, like I said, she's so affectionate. She's so loving. She thinks that she is a lap dog. She thinks she's 5 pounds and she's 80 pounds and just really athletic. Crazy.
My goodness. That's sounds like the dog wants a lot of love.
Yes, but is a little reticent.
Right. Mm-hmm. A little scared.
Okay, so there's more. She shreds toys. So her favorite thing is tug of war. We learned that in about the first 3 hours. She'll bring a toy and smack it onto your leg. Like, hey, play tug of war with me. And I only had these kind of soft, squeaky toys because Penny wasn't really into toys. Daisy chews them, but it takes a while for him to get the squeaker out of them. This dog just wants to rip them to shreds. So you play tug of war with her. She will back up and rip until the thing rips in half, right? So on Monday morning, thank God for Amazon and same day delivery. I get on Amazon. I find two, they call them indestructible rope toys. We'll see. Anyway, they're bright colors. She got very excited. They were delivered within hours. This is the best part though. Daisy, our little 20-pound mini Aussie, I would say she's setting her boundaries with the new dog because the dog has no personal space, right? The new dog, which means that she steps, like she'll put her paw on Daisy. I mean, she wants to play. She's a year old, but Daisy not liking that. Plus the dog's big and towers over her, right? And slobbers, of course. And so every time she like comes up and gives you a kiss, she slobbers all over everything. So Daisy's growling, barking, lunging at her just the first couple of days, kind of rough. The cat hissing, growling. There's growling with the dog. There's yelping.
Chaos.
Right. Sounds like we got a 3-ring circus. But yesterday, how about this? The new dog, she starts playing with the rope toy. Daisy grabs the other end, and the two of them are playing tug of war for a good 20 minutes. We've got video. It's amazing. This is the key. They are going to play tug of war, and it was awesome. Also, my 7-pound cat, she decided, screw you. I'm not backing down. This is my house first. So she just gives a little hiss and, get this, bop the dog on the nose Monday. So the dog now knows, don't mess with the cat. So I think the pecking order is cat. Because Daisy doesn't mess with the cat either. Cat, Daisy, and then this young, crazy one. We have a name for her. The only reason I'm not sharing more photos or a name yet is because she's not officially ours, and I want to get attached. I believe we can work with her, but I also am a little reticent myself about putting photos out there. But there is one of us walking, so that's the key. Walking, lots of exercise. And here's the funny part. So you can't yet let her off the leash. She doesn't exactly know where she is, and she chases squirrels. Also, reacts to pretty much anything that drives by or walks by. So I have them both on leashes, right, as I'm walking out the door. I have to reach back around the door handle and lock the door so I can pull it closed yesterday. In the meantime, a human walks by with another dog. I nearly lost the arm out of my socket. The dog takes off. Now, I won. I was ready for it. But you know, even when you know it's coming, that yank. Oh, my gosh.
Jolt. So
Penny was 75 pounds, and she was strong. But she listened very quickly. Like, she got it right away. So this dog is, I would say she's a lot younger. She's a year old. She's got a ton of puppy energy. She just wants to climb in your lap and lick you and play with her rope toys. But she's, oh my gosh. And when she drinks water, the entire downstairs floor is soaked because the dog like slobbers everywhere. But she is so sweet and funny as heck. Now, we think she's a lab cross maybe, or a Great Pyrenees. I'm not sure. Lab maybe, though. She chews everything in sight. Like, I have a couple of stuffed animals that people have given me. Oh, no, they've got to be hidden because the dog just climbs up on the bed, grabs it, and runs.
You're going to need a spool of rope by the time you're done.
She is crazy. However, she's adorable, and she makes great facial expressions, and she will lick the heck out of you, and she's already starting to adapt. Though people have told me, forget 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. I know she's been through a lot, and we really do want to give her a good home, but I swear if she keeps licking my husband, he's going to like grab her tongue or something. She's awesome. She's just big and sloppery and and very energetic. They actually told us, the foster told us, oh, she's really chill in the house. No, she's not. What? She's chill in the house if you drug her. She's not chill in the house.
Well, the big test will be Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, I know. And the good news is the family loves her. So the two family members who are visiting, she's been slobbering all over them too. And she loves, they love her. So now my mother-in-law believes that it'll be great at Christmas. Just bring the dog. Like, oh, okay. Good thing you have a fenced-in backyard.
Right.
Connor's like nodding or like shaking his head. So here's the last piece of it. The backyard, because we had our construction project, is dirt. It's all dirt. Don't ask me why they had to ruin our entire backyard for a little bitty room, but they did. So now, after the recent rain, not complaining, we needed rain, it's muddy. Oh, yeah. Dog loves the mud. Rolls in the mud. Loves the mud. Just clomp, clomp, clomp in the mud. Gets the zoomies all through the mud.
Line that new room with towels.
Very exciting. Yes, thank God it's called a mud room for a good reason. Oh, my gosh. What have we done, Pete? What have we done?
Lots of love. That's what you've done.
Now imagine, and we'll update you on this when we get to it, but now imagine a 1,700-mile road trip one way. With El Doggo in the back and Daisy. Oh, dear.
Get a van. Get
right?
A trailer. I'm
about to get a minivan for my dog. What was that movie, Marley? Marley and Me? Movie with the crazy golden retriever? No, she was a yellow lab, wasn't she?
Yes.
Crazy golden lab. Uh-huh.
Yes.
It might be a new movie. It's a sequel to Marley and Me.
Marley and Me Too.
Marley and Me Too with her new name. We've got a good name for her, so we'll share that maybe after Thanksgiving. Anyway, thank you all for asking. I'll put one more photo up so you can see crazy, crazy lady, not chill in the house dog who slobbers everywhere and thinks she belongs in your lap. But she is really sweet. And oh, by the way, when she wags her tail, which she does when she sees us now, it like creates a wind that's enough to register on the whatever that wind meter is. I mean, the tail's like a fan. She's crazy. She's
good for the summer.
Yeah.
Save on the air conditioner.
If we get to that point, yes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our TD of the Week candidate's next. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life Electronic Device and Pet Health Insurance. We kick off with Monday Night Football.
Inside the 7, third and goal for the Ravens. Deep in Charger territory, shotgun snap, dropping back 5, line drive throw, caught, leaping, catch back to the end zone, the tight end Enders. A beautiful thread-like line drive touchdown pass. Lamar Jackson with a strike of 6 yards.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. The Ravens beat the Chargers 30-23. Lamar Jackson with 2 touchdown passes and a touchdown run. Derrick Henry rushed 24 times for 140 yards. Now to the NBA, and we start in Indiana.
Rebound tapped out toward the foul line, gobbled up by Siakam. He's running into the open floor. The Pelicans get back defensively. Haliburton is open. Siakam found him for 3. Indiana by 7 with 5 minutes and 27 seconds left to play.
Mark Boyle on Pacers Radio. Pacers beat the Pelicans 114-110. Tyrese Haliburton with 34 points. Elsewhere, Thunder over the Kings 130-109. Nets beat the Warriors 128-120. Knicks 145, Nuggets 118. OG Anunoby with 40 points. The Grizzlies over the Blazers 123-98. The Celtics top the Clippers 126-94. Jason Tatum at 20 points. Mavericks over the Hawks 129-119. Magic beat the Hornets 95-84. And the Pistons over the Raptors 102-100. College basketball in overtime. Memphis beat number 2 UConn 99-97. It was number 4 Auburn over number 5 Iowa State 83-81. NHL Sharks over the Kings 7-2. Kraken 3, Ducks 2. Jets over the Wild 4-1. Hurricane 6, Stars 4. Senators beat the Flames 4-3 and wins for the Red Wings, Golden Knights, Blues, Devils, Lightning, and Capitals. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw to the end zone. Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center salting into the end zone.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Dallas Cowboys.
Turpin fields the kick. Deep dances and running it out. Left to the 30, to the 40, to midfield. Turpin's got the Jets going. 10-5. Touchdown by the league's leading kickoff returner. And everybody's hanky is in its pocket.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
In the pistol with Barkley behind them. What if Betty gives it to Barkley? He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
The Tennessee Titans.
3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. From the 30, Levis in the gun with Pollard on his right hip. Play fake, Levis firing downfield, complete. Okonkwo 40. 50, Okonkwo 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Chigga Okonkwo, his first touch, goes for 70 and a big 6.
Oh my. The Seattle Seahawks.
Arizona went hurry up. They're doing the same thing now. Right back to the line of scrimmage on 4th and 1 at the 40. Murray under center this time. Play fake. Murray's going to try to get it. He's going to run far side. He's going to dump it over the top. Intercepted. Kobe Bryant. Far sideline. He's got the blockers. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Your candidates for TD of the week, because it's a Thanksgiving Touchdown Tuesday. Kevontae Turpin, after he drops the ball and nearly steps on the far end line, he goes 99 yards through traffic as the Cowboys are able to beat the Commanders and old friend Dan Quinn. The Philadelphia Eagles get another masterful performance from MVP frontrunner, dare I say it, Saquon Barkley. That's Meryl Reese on Eagles Radio. Oh, and Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio. And Saquon had a pair of touchdowns that went for 70 yards. That's his second one. That was an exclamation point for those Eagles on Sunday night. Tennessee Titans get this terrific moment in what's been a bit of a lost season in Houston against the Texans. Chig Okonkwo, he goes 70 yards, again, through traffic for a catch-and-run TD off the hands of Will Levis, and that gives the Titans their lead for good in Houston. And the call there with Mike Keith, and finally Steve Rabel on Seahawks Radio, Geno Smith. He was able to get just one touchdown on the board, so it was up to the defense to do the rest. Kobe, C-O-B-Y, Kobe Bryant is able to snag a ball off the hands of Kyler Murray and take it 69 yards for the pick six. Vote for the TD of the week at Amy After Hours and on our Facebook page.